Last week, I cut our singing short. I think sometimes we think we got to do everything the exact same way that we always do things. And I'm just ready to preach. So I said, let's stop. Let's go. Tonight, I think the sermon's already been given. But I'm still going to share my thoughts for tonight, but in all honesty, I could leave right now and feel that it's been awesome. Just hearing these ladies' testimonies and what God has done in their lives, and for me to have a part, at least in two out of the three, didn't know Susanna back then, but to hear how God changed all their lives, and that's just awesome. It really is awesome. It makes it worth it all. So, this is kind of like a double charge. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans 5. The reason we had the ladies share their testimony tonight is we're going to talk about the benefits of justification, the benefits of being saved. You know, we sometimes don't use some of these bigger words anymore, and that's a shame. Let's pray. Father God, teach us your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to know it, to hear it, and to apply it. Thank you, Lord, so much for the testimonies we've heard tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, not too long ago, we had the Casey Anthony trial. Casey's the mother, right? She got out today, I think. Tommy, who works at Advanced Auto, had a lady come in and want to know if they had paint so she could paint her windows to let everybody know her hatred and anger over her getting off, being set free. And this lady is saying she got away with murder. Some people have talked to me as leaving church services about how it's upset them that they feel she's guilty and she's gotten away with it. Basically, what they said in this trial was that she was innocent, that she did not commit murder. There was not enough evidence against her. I want you to think for a moment that all of these charges that were given were found to be true. At the end of this trial, they said to her, "You're guilty. You're guilty of first-degree murder. You've done it. You deserve the death penalty. And that's what we're going to give you." Now, with that in your mind, I want you to take this thought a bit further and remove her and put you in her place. And it is God saying, you are guilty of every sin you've committed. And you deserve death, eternal death, for what you've done. In the very moment that you came to Jesus Christ, as these ladies described tonight, and you receive Christ as your Savior, at that very moment, as you figuratively stood in the courtroom being declared guilty, God stepped in that courtroom and said, based on your faith in Jesus, I don't declare you innocent, because you're not. I declare you righteous because of what Jesus did. That's what the word justification means. It's not that God finds us innocent. We are found guilty. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we place our faith in what He did, God steps in and says, look, though you are guilty, I'm going to take the righteousness of my Son and I'm going to put it in your life and I will declare you righteous. Now, when we are justified, notice Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. God used Paul in the first three chapters of Romans to tell us how guilty we are. That his wrath, chapter 1, is being declared from heaven against all the ungodliness and all the wickedness of this world. And that includes you and I. You know, we always want to find the other person guilty, but we always want forgiveness. First three chapters, he spends telling us how guilty we are. And then when we get to Romans 4, he gives us an example of someone who placed their faith in God and were justified, that of Abraham and David. Now he comes to chapter 5 and he says, look, since we have been justified, since we also, like Abraham and David, have placed our faith in God, there are some results of that. There are some benefits to salvation. In the first 11 verses of chapter 5, I find 7 benefits of being justified. But before we get to them, I want to share with you something that just popped out to my heart, my eyes, this week as I looked at this passage just one more time of many, many times. I want you to notice a phrase that just caught my eye and really spoke to me. Follow with me as I read. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And here's the words I want you to notice. We rejoice. I like to mark my Bible and encourage you to do that. So can I encourage you to put brackets around those two words, we rejoice? You'll see why in a minute. When we have a repeated phrase in the Word of God, I think it's important that we allow that to stand out to our heart. And that's what it did this week, because I have a new Bible, at least the last few years that I've been using. It's a wide margin Bible that I can write notes in. And I did not have that done in this Bible, so I'm kind of remarking my Bible. And I did it this week. So, and we rejoice. Now, follow with me. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but here it is again. We also rejoice. Brackets around it. Second time in these verses that Paul's talking about the benefits of justification, he says once more again, we also rejoice. Now skip with me down to verse 11. Not only in this so, but we also rejoice. Here's that phrase again, brackets again. So in these 11 verses, he's talking about the benefits of salvation. But notice three times he mentions these words, we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. Why did that stand out to me? Because as Christians, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. Have you ever noticed sometimes how miserable we can get? I mean, we allow this world to get into our lives. We allow all the challenges and the difficulties. And instead of rejoicing, we're being miserable. And he's talking about the benefits of salvation. He says, look, we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. We ought not to be miserable. We ought to be rejoicing. And I'm going to talk about that as a benefit of salvation, one of the 7, but it just popped out to me 3 times over. He says, look, we ought to be rejoicing. As Christians, if anyone should have joy, it ought to be us. Because we stand in the grace of God, as he said in the first couple of verses, having been justified freely through Jesus Christ. Learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. Don't be miserable. Don't let this world get you. Learn to rejoice. Now, that's just on top, no charge, extra. Let's get to the seven. Number one, first benefit of justification, of salvation, is peace with God. That ought to cause rejoicing, right? Because we are saved, we have peace with God. Notice that in verse 1. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. In order for us to get peace, it means at one time there was no peace. The word peace means to make enemies friends. That's what this word means in the Bible. It means to make those who are enemies now friends. It is the cessation of hostilities. It is peace between individuals. It is bringing two people who are at war and bringing them back together. It is taking man who had a relationship with God but lost it in Genesis, and now it is bringing us back together through Christ. John 3:36, whoever believes in his Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects his Son will not see life, for God's wrath, listen to this, remains on him. When you were born with God's wrath on you. Debbie talked about, going through church, and that's kind of enough. I think Eileen mentioned that too. We're born with God's wrath. We're not born in a relationship with God. We're born with wrath, God's anger on us. Romans 1:18 talks about the wrath of God. John 8:44 says when we're born, we're of the devil. God is our father. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're not God's friends. We're not God's family. We are God's enemies. But when we turn to Christ, God takes us who are far off and he makes us his friend. I love that song that we learned a few years back, Friend of God. The benefit of being born again is a right relationship with God. It is fixing our relationship with God. And notice he says here, to make sure that we don't miss it, in verse 1 he says, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only means possible. Benefit is peace with God. Benefit number 2 is access to God. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access. Through whom? Through Christ. The whom refers back to Jesus. Through Jesus we have gained access, again by faith, into this grace in which we now stand. Through Christ we've gained access to God. Now, that may not stand out to us. We were talking in our praise team about words and songs standing out to us. We're going to learn a new song, but you already know it. My favorite modern-day singers is Casting Crowns. And they've come out with a new song, but it's really an old hymn. And they've just changed the tune, but they sing the old hymn. One Day is the name of the hymn that they've changed. But now with them singing, it helps you to kind of grip the words. I think when we read these words, we don't, at least for me, it doesn't grip me like it should. Through Christ, we have access to God. When a Jew would read this, he would probably pause in Paul's day and stop and say what? I have access to God? Are you serious? Go back to the Old Testament. My father has this, and we're going to be doing this pretty soon. He has the whole tabernacle, all the articles and furniture in the tabernacle. Remember, for a Jew, no one had access to God, except the priest would go in there, Moses would go in there, and the priest only once a year. And, they weren't allowed in there. Access to God? Are you serious? For the Jew, this would just jump out. They couldn't get to God. But through Jesus Christ, the curtain was torn in two, and we have gained access to God. It's an interesting word, this word access, in the Romans 5 here. It means to introduce. We have been introduced to God. We can now go to God through Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through a priest like they did in the Old Testament. We don't have to go through Mary. You don't have to go through me as your pastor. You have the same level of access to God that I have because of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we stand in the grace of God. The word stand means to be immovable, to be firmly planted, to continually steadfast in it. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been introduced to God. We have access by faith into God's grace in which we now stand immovable. Number three, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Third benefit is that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We looked at this a few minutes ago. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The word rejoice means jubilation. Jubilation, to boast in the hope of the glory of God. The hope for the believer is a confident expectation that we will participate in God's glory. Before salvation, we fell short, Romans 3:23. But after salvation, we have confidence that there is a future hope that we will participate in the glory of God. I can't wait. Can't wait to get out of this world and be with Him. Number four, we rejoice in suffering. Because we have been justified, we rejoice in suffering. Let me read it. Verse 3. Not only so, not only do we rejoice in that, but there's something else we rejoice in. Suffering. Are you kidding? We also rejoice in our sufferings. You know, believers of any group of people ought to be able to rejoice in something that should not cause any rejoicing, but we can rejoice in our suffering. Why? Well, notice what he says. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. The word suffering is a word that is used of squeezing grapes to get out the juice. It means pressing something together. Perseverance is that word that's used all throughout the New Testament. I like the Greek word. It's hupomone. And it means literally to abide under, to stand up under something. And it has the idea of staying power. That as God brings us through suffering, we learn staying power. We learn not to give up. Not to give in, not to quit, in spite of severe circumstances. And that, in our lives, produces character. Character. And it actually here has the idea of approved character, character that has stood the test. The word is used of testing metals to demonstrate their purity. In other words, as we go through suffering, it develops perseverance in our life. The perseverance shows our character. What character? The character that has stood the test. A word that is used of metals. You know, they heat up metal to find all the impurities in the metal. Once they find the impurities kind of rise to the top of the metal. They bring a utensil that scoops out all those impurities, and you're left with the pure metal. All this stuff shows our character to be what it ought to be. James 1:12, blesses the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. James 1:2-3 says, consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Job said in Job 23:10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Rejoicing in suffering. Do you rejoice in suffering? I don't. Not always. Sometimes. Number five. guarantees we will not be disappointed. Justification guarantees we will not be disappointed. Have you ever wondered, what if you die and you find out everything that you believe was wrong? Three ladies gave their testimony tonight. What if all this belief, all this change of life had no meaning and we all die? None of it's true. What if God really doesn't keep his promise? What if there really is no God? Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Disappoint means to humiliate. Have you ever been humiliated? The word means to believe something in vain. You believe something, you stood for something, but in the end, everything you believed and stood for was wrong, and so you stood there humiliated. The Bible says that we will never be disappointed in our belief and our trust in Christ, because our hope will prove to be true. Notice, how do we know that? Because God's love has been poured into our heart. We know in our heart, because of the love that God has put in there, that we will not be disappointed. Pour out. Pour to overflowing. The demonstration I gave this morning of, you know, the water, us being filled with God's word, and I poured in all those rocks, and the water poured out because those rocks filled up the space where the water was, and that's what our sin and our worldliness does, so that we can't receive the word of God. That water being poured over is the idea here that God poured so much of his love into our in our hearts, it overflowed. How did he do that? He did it through, verse 5, through the Holy Spirit. And he produced in us God's love. And he demonstrated that love for us, verse 6. At the right time, Christ didn't die before he should have or after he should have, but he died at the right time. It was God's perfect plan. He died when we were unable to help ourselves, verse 6. We were powerless. We could do nothing about our sinful state. He died for us while we were still sinners. You know, think about it. Someone might die for a righteous person, good man. Probably rare, but someone would die, give their life for that person. But an ungodly, powerless sinner? Only God. You know, I wonder how many would give their life for Casey Anthony right now. That is, those who don't know God. This God loves us so much that he would pour his love into our heart, that he would die for us when we were so undeserving. How could this God ever disappoint us? He won't. Number 6. Justification guarantees that we will be delivered from God's wrath. It guarantees we will be delivered from God's wrath. Notice verse 9 and 10. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? If God justified us by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through Christ, through being saved? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more now having been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Paul argues from the lesser to the greater. If when we were God's enemies, he saved us, how much more will he keep us saved now that we are his friends? Before we were saved, as I mentioned before, we were under God's wrath. John 3:36. For God's wrath remains on us, on him. Ephesians 2:3, we were by nature object of God's wrath. Ephesians 5:6, because of such things God's wrath comes. But notice, because of justification, we have been delivered from God's wrath. There's two kinds of God's wrath that are coming, generally speaking. There's the wrath of the tribulation. And for us who are part of the church, who are saved in this generation, we will be saved from that wrath. We will not go through the tribulation period. This is one of those verses that we turn to know that. We will also be saved from eternal wrath, the wrath of hell. Hell is spoken as being eternal punishment. The reason an unbeliever will face the wrath of God is only because Christ has not removed that wrath from them, because they haven't turned to Christ for salvation. For the unbeliever, Romans 8:1, as we'll see in weeks to come, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Justification guarantees we will be delivered from God's wrath. You and I will never have to face God's anger. Number 7. Benefit of justification is reconciliation with God. We talked about that in the very first one, but it's kind of stated again in the very last one in a little different way. Verse 11. Not only is this so, the things he's talked about, but we also rejoice. There's that third rejoicing. In God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Again, the word means to reestablish friendship. It literally means to exchange. To change from enemies to friends. You know that song, Friend of God, that talks about being seated at the table. I don't know about your family, but when we have Thanksgiving or Christmas events, we have a table for the family, and everybody comes to the table and they eat. Unless you are a grandchild or a cousin or something like that, and you're one of the kids, you're over at that table. I remember a while back, I think it was Amy, but I'm not sure. It was finally to the point where she was going to be able to sit at the family big people's table. And something happened where she had to go back to the other table. She let us know that she didn't like it. Because we are friends with God, we're, as the song says, at his table. We have been reconciled to God. We have become God's friend. Reconciliation. Justification. Peace with God. Access to God. Rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing in suffering. The guarantee that we will not be disappointed, the guarantee that we will be saved from God's wrath, and the provision of reconciliation. The last, like the first, reminding us that we are friends with God. When we become born again, we become God's friend. It gives us access to God. It tells us that we know one day that we will throw away these sin-stained bodies and put on our glorious body. And that's why Paul says, as we'll see in weeks to come, in Romans 8:18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Maybe that's why in this passage we see that phrase three times over. We rejoice, we also rejoice, we also rejoice. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, There's no way in looking at this tonight we can fully comprehend or come to grips with all that is here. Help us, Lord, not to forget what we've heard tonight. Help us even for those who come Wednesday night and we are reminded of these things. Help us, Lord, to come to grips with the benefits of being part of your family. For we pray in Jesus' name.